So let's pray, folks, and we'll call on the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us strength. Huh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, Almighty, Heavenly Father, we present to you each of these women in the midst of their journey. Give them great faith and hope and love. And give us a sense of your desire to feed us, to strengthen us in our journey of hope. We pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Amen. So as we gather, we're going to continue through the whole concept of communion and asking God's strength and his grace. You know, one of the great calls of healing is the sacrament of confession. And I think we sometimes fail to understand that confession is a call to conversion. It is a call that you will actually be free. Now, I've said that before, but I want to help you understand kind of in a deeper sense. It's really a call to conversion. It's okay to keep the first Friday confession schedule if you're actually trying to deepen your relationship with the Lord and take that pattern of sin and ask the Lord to root it out. I think people's lack of faith in confession has been rooted in a lot of things, the scandal. I think people don't say, why do I have to go to a priest? Number one, I think it's been rooted in sometimes they've gone to confession and they've not really gotten a sense of the grace and the call and the growth that comes with the sacrament. I think it's also because we've used the sacrament sort of in an unhealthy way, you know, like, well, I can do what I want, but as long as I go to confession, you know, like, I'll be okay. So, you know, we fall into the sin of presumption, and we fall into the sin that basically says my spiritual vanity before this spiritual father, known to me or unknown, will not allow me to go through the conversion. To convert is to turn with somebody. It's not to go alone. It's to turn with. So you are turning with God's love and his grace and his presence in your life. Okay? So what happens is in our culture is that we have not yet been able to overcome that spiritual pride that prevents me from actually being free before my spiritual father, which is whichever, your priest or some other priest that you know or don't know. And so we're not really entering into the deep call of conversion. Conversion ultimately is allowing yourself to let God heal from within and lead to without. It starts in and it leads out. It's true some priests are better confessors than others. Padre Pio, red souls. St. John Vianney probably did the same thing. And everyone says, gosh, I would have been great to go to Padre Pio. I don't think so. You'd have been like, oh, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I was impatient. He's going to go, you did this, right? Stories are told of him walking out of the confessional and say, you know what? You're not making a sincere confession in this line. Get out. He told people, you read all these stories about Padre Pio. He was in confessional, and he'd walk out and say, no, you're not here to confess. You're here mocking the sacrament. He did incredible. I think, ladies, if you went home and you had a call, really sense of a call to conversion of the sacrament of confession, you would actually change our culture. You could actually bring great healing to your families. Okay? That's the calling that God has for you. I have seen women change their families. And I've seen others not change their families because they stay rooted in their unforgiveness and their anger and their resentment. So the first thing I want to say to you is confession is a call to conversion. It demands an honest interior understanding it to the best of your ability of your sinfulness and seeking God's forgiveness. God, through the priesthood, grants pardon and peace. Peace. Pardon and peace. I admit, I see sometimes it's like peeling an onion, folks. In other words, really, to kind of get away from the generic topics, you know, I did this and I did this, but they never really bring it down to an actual, like, this is really what I did. Even though they want to confess that, there's this pride that blocks them from the authentic description, not in a humiliating way, but an authentic way. And so we read these examination of consciences, and the things that we just don't think are sinful, we just skip over, right? Oh, I don't think that's a sin. Skip, skip, skip. And we come out, and it's sort of this mockery. Listen, you may think certain sins are wrong or certain sins are right, but then I ask you, did you study about that? Did you understand that sin? Do you understand why the church teaches that that's wrong? No, it's just, you know, I read about it in Cosmos, so therefore. And it's incredibly painful to notice. Because sometimes the priest will say, well, can I ask you a few questions? Yeah, awkward, right? Because that's the challenge. Oh, well, you missed this, you missed this. Did you think that? No. Okay. And all of a sudden, you begin to like wake up and you're like, yeah. There may be times when you walk out of the confessional and you're like, why'd you ask me that question? And all of a sudden, it starts running around in your head and you're like, I got it. I understand. It may not be exactly that sin, but it may be connected to something else. If you're open in the sacrament, that freedom will allow you to see the deeper roots of the sin. That's what you want. That's the sacrament of conversion. Okay? So I'm angry at my kids. Great. And all of a sudden you begin to unwrap it and unravel it and you see what it's about. It's not angry at my kids. Three-year-olds are rotten anyway. What's the deeper problem? Is it your pride? Is it unforgiveness in your heart? Why are you so wrapped up in the fact that, yeah, your kid didn't listen to you? There's something deeper. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit to tell you that's the call to conversion. Because those things manifest themselves exteriorly in so many ways. Countless ways. So how do you live that freedom? I remember I was talking to this gal and this guy, and she was so upset at him because he was wrapped up in porno. I'm like, okay. All of a sudden, we're talking. Anyway, I come to find out that she was like drinking a lot. I'm like, well, you drinking too much? Like, he's like, no. Like, every time I went there was this huge shield. You know? You want to know what? They'll never heal. Because God was like, hey, you know, what about this? It wasn't like she was brown bagging it on the corner, right? That's our safe definition. I'm safe like that. I didn't do that, Father. I never had an abortion, so I'm not that bad. But as soon as you start getting into really the real challenge that God has of the call to conversion, people shut down. They don't want the call to conversion. They want the grace, but limitedly. So the first thing to ask you is, are you really living the call of the conversion of the sacrament of confession? No, granted, no doubt. Sometimes you go in there and you're not even done your confession. I mean, I had one not long ago. I mean, I wasn't even done. The guy's like, all right, for your penance. I'm like, hello. Like, I wasn't even done. You know, I'm like, I wasn't even on the letter D. And there's, and he's like, all right, well, you have a lot to be blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, now what? So, you know, it's one of those. And don't forget, you know, say a Hail Mary on the way out. High five. And I'm like, come on. I understand. It has to be deeper. It has to allow, okay? So that's the first thing. Is you want your priests to bring you to call of conversion. That's the call of conversion. It's not friendship. Go be friends with somebody else. The call of the conversion. Why? Because this new life in you helps you overcome your frailty, your concupiscence. That's the call of the interior conversion. The Catechism says Jesus calls us to conversion. The time is at hand now. Repent and believe in the gospel. So at your baptism, you receive the initial grace of the call to conversion. The rest of your life is an ongoing conversion. The rest of your life. Turning away from sin and believing in the gospel. The rest of your life. And I'll tell you, the sincerity of heart that you bring into the confessional will actually allow you to begin to see the things that you never believed or saw or remembered. The closed rooms in the attic of your heart must be opened. Maybe you don't have them. But if there isn't freedom there when you come out of that confession, there may be something knowingly or unknowingly that you just don't see. I was working with a priest one time. He said something very interesting. He said, you know, I have no idea if I went through some struggles as abuse as a kid. And so I said, well, you know, we gotta pray about this, you know. I said, I don't know. I don't have that ability. But it caused him so much fear. And there was no material for it. Like, we kind of got to it, and kind of this spiritual thing coming at him. But, you know, you almost have to bring that up to the Lord, whatever those things are, because you can't keep them down out of embarrassment. Okay? I bet you all have girlfriends, at least one girlfriend, that could identify with that statement. It may not be the abuse, but something really tough happened, and it's in the back of their head saying, did it happen? I don't know. I'm afraid to go there. And yet, with grace, God can get you there. You know, you can be an instrument for that gal. Okay? Remember, it's there but for the grace of God, right? Remember that. It's just God's grace that it didn't happen to us. I was born in a different family, man. That stuff didn't happen. I didn't have that kind of neighbor. Or that kind of school janitor. I've dealt with those folks. So the first thing is the call of conversion. The second thing that I want to speak to you about is this grace. Is with this interior conversion, there must be some interior penance. The Catechism speaks really beautifully. Fasting, mortification. This repentance is a radical reorientation. It's a return. Saint Dominic Savio said, I would rather die than sin. Right? I wish I had that kid's heart. I'd rather die than sin. Interior repentance means praying for those who hurt you. Praying for those who have led you into sin. And praying for the people that you have led into sin as well. That's the interior conversion. God gives you a new heart every time you come out of confession. It's a new heart. And so God uses the priesthood to help you heal so that you come before the tribunal of God's mercy and have freedom. You can actually heal from many of your emotional wounds by that confession through sort of a regular spiritual director, right? So maybe you had a healthy family life or whatever. And I've seen guys to heal through regular confession. It becomes very liberating. Regular confession can heal you. Now, why is this so important? Because as these wounds in your life heal, you actually begin to be like sort of this moving example of mercy. You will bring people to healing. I've said that before, but I want to emphasize it again. You will bring people to healing. God will answer your prayer. And sometimes it just takes a little time to be prayed with. Father, I don't know, you know. I got these crazy thoughts. Just bring them up, you know. I mean, I know it's rotten, right? I get it. But when you bring them up, you actually, as you begin to speak them, you're like, what am I thinking? I know that's wrong. But all of a sudden, it's in your head and you think it's right. So the second thing is like this interior repentance, this interior conversion that's needed. You know, I know it's hard to go to confession to priests because, yeah, we're sinners, you know. We're sitting on the other side of the screen as well. But God calls us to be priests because God knew that humanity would fall and humanity would suffer. And so he wanted his ministry of healing and compassion to continue. The purpose of the priest is to express God's love to us through his vocation and to restore you to your dignity. Without dignity, ladies, you are nothing. Without your dignity. Sin mars that concept of dignity. Thus, there's no comfort in looking at myself in a healthy way, so I seek somebody to look at me. Innocently or imprudently. I understand that the challenge is when we begin to grow through the sacrament, we might not like what we see. There were five virtues that Father Hardin spoke of as a priest that I think are necessary, that I actually think are very applicable to you as ladies, that I think I'd like you to pray about and meditate on. The first verse he said is, every priest should have a huge love for the Eucharist, and so should you. You should have a beautiful love for the Eucharist. We become priests because of the Mass. And just like we become priests because of the Mass, so you are fed on the Mass. You live on the Mass. Holy woman makes her home and the parish closer to God. Holy woman. Faith in the Eucharist establishes a strong relationship with the priest and our Lord. And so it is with you. Faith in the Eucharist will help you be in communion with God. But he said something really kind of like a no-brainer. He said, the priest that loses his love in the Eucharist will lose his sense of identity. Right? Think about your own life. When you lost your identity, what was your faith in the Eucharist? If there was any. Right? When you were making rotten choices, what was your faith in the Eucharist? But as you've come back, there's been this correlative reality, right? As I come back to the Lord, I come to know my dignity. And as I come to know my dignity, I come to love the Eucharist. They work hand in hand. So that's a teaching tool for your family and your friends. If they don't have any dignity, they won't have any love for the Eucharist. Is that okay? It's an absolute truism, I'm convinced. Okay? Absolutely. And I can see it, you know, at Mass, you know. The slopey-shouldered guy that comes up, you know. Amen. Giggling. You know, you talk to them about something, they're giggling. I'm like talking to like a high school chick. I said, what are you doing? I'm talking to you as a man. Where's your courage? Greet me as a man. So faith in the Eucharist will help you, but will help you in your journey. Number two, humility of mind and heart. We want our priests to have humility. Without humility, we will never grow in holiness. You know, you look at the apostles, those poor guys, you know, they're hanging around with Jesus 3 years. They're all fishermen or tax collectors or whatever. And then 3 years later, he dies, and then he, you know, goes to heaven. And then everyone's like, you read the Gospels, and you're like, why didn't they believe in him? It was only 3 years. That's all the seminary was. I had double the amount of seminary formation than those guys did. I had 6 years, and I still don't get it all, right? Humility. In other words, we see the heart of God is loving you. The heart of God is at your feet. God washes your feet when you come out of confession, that you can resume your duties as a woman. You know, it's always delicate when you talk to women about humility because they have this false sense of self-loathing or unworthiness, kind of like nothingness. I'm nothing. That's not a healthy understanding. I love to say to folks, you know, you're really worth more than like all the cats and dogs and zebras and Barneys that God has ever made, you know. Really? Yeah, really. You're made in God's image and likeness. God breathed into a soul. And contrary to our cultural definition of animals and trees, you are worth more than all of that. It's not even in the same ballpark. It's like a different language. Humility is rooted in charity. I will allow God to love me and love me through my wounds and my struggles. Thirdly, we want our priests to have a Christ-like love, Christ-like charism. And we want our ladies to have the same. We want you to have that Christ-like charism. We want to see in you something of the love of God. That's what we're looking for, Mom. Aunt, Grammy. We're looking for something like that. Something that makes us think outside of you. I think when we think of this Christ-like charism, we have to think of some of the basic graces that Christ received. I would just like to say to you that ultimately, what we want to see in you is a form of courage. Real courage to confront the struggle. A lot of us know, or I know many of you, I know your struggle. I know a lot of what some of you go through. And it's quite edifying. But it's a battle, and you have to persevere. And part of your cross will be just the doubts, you know. Part of that is just going to be your doubts, okay, ladies? That may be just part of the way you stay really humble. Glad it's you, not me, right? But, you know, it's like, you know, we talk, you see the movement of God, and then like, so tell me about God's love. Well, I don't know. And I just want to, like, punch you in the head, you know, like, what do you want, you know? Well, I'm not sure. What do you want? And then we talk through it, and all of us, you know, like, I see it's a struggle. I see it's more than just psychological and spiritual. Sometimes for some of you, it's really some of your cross. Does that make sense? It really is. You're leading the holy life. You're doing everything you can. All of a sudden, you just, like, get all discombobulated, and then you got to kind of reorient. And sometimes you know, you're learning that self-corrective grace, right? Like it's God's grace, but you're learning how to make it work. But you're just not sure. You know, you have to keep coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, console me in the midst of this doubt. Okay? Console me. If you don't have this struggle, God bless you. And it doesn't have anything to do with being self-confident or anything like that. Sometimes I just think it's part of a struggle. The fourth thing is we want to see a generosity of spirit. I thought, when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's a perfect definition for women. Generosity of spirit, which is basically charity. It means when God is speaking to your heart, respond. When God is telling you, you know, have trust me in this. Let's do this together. You have to trust him in the little things in order for you to hear him in the bigger things, okay? And a lot of those interior graces and those movements sometimes are really having to do with you overcoming yourself in some small way. Yeah, I want you to call so-and-so. I want you to do this, even though you don't want to do it. And so the struggle is, how do you do that? But that's the invitation of the Lord. And it's just those little things that God speaks to you. Now, I just want to close with one last point that he makes that I think is really quite beautiful. I've read it in a couple of books. And I think it's quite beautiful. When the priest stands at the altar, he's in persona Christi. And the bread and wine are transformed into his body and blood, soul and divinity. When you receive the Blessed Sacrament, you begin to change from within. The substance is changing. The old woman is dying. The new woman is coming alive. You still have the same exterior manifestation. You're still the same age, weight, hair color, all that. But something is changing from within you. So as the bread and wine remain looking, tasting, smelling like bread and wine at the end of the consecration, but has become the body, blood, soul, and divinity, so I say to you that those who receive the Blessed Sacrament in a state of grace retain the exterior presentation, but something is substantively changing from within. The old woman is dying. The new woman is coming alive. There's sort of this dual transubstantiation in the Mass. Are you with me on that? It's a mixture of God's divinity and your humanity, and slowly converting the dust, the dirt, into something which is more pliable and obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? It's essential that you understand that, because then you receiving the Blessed Sacrament isn't an action rooted in a moment, but it's a passion, a desire that begins to take place and form your life. Okay? So it then becomes love. Why do I go to Mass at 5:10? So I can prepare my heart to receive him and change this part of my life that I know is atrophied, broken, swollen, sad, or whatever. And so God begins to substantively change you as the grace of the confession interiorly converts you and sort of sweeps out the nonsense. So too, the grace of the Eucharist then begins to convert you from within to out. Okay? How many of you get that? Are you getting the sense of that? Okay. So that means preparation for the Blessed Sacrament is something more than just an action called the Mass. It's a communion that you're seeking with our Savior. But it's his desire for this to happen more than your desire. I have desired with the utmost desire to give you my body, blood, soul, and divinity. Why? So that you can substantively be changed, even though you'll be the same exteriorly. We will all die, but the grace, ladies, is that you will not die. You will actually live. Because when you live in Christ and with the Blessed Sacrament, then your love lives on through the Blessed Sacrament to your children and grandchildren and all those you leave behind. When I die, never having faith or anything like that, then my lasagna dies eventually. That's all that we know about you, lasagna, scarves. But when you begin to live, then actually you live on in your children's love for the Eucharist. Are you with me on that? So it isn't just a momentary act. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, I go to communion. It's a lifetime of conversion, the interior conversion. And thus, God begins to live in your loved ones because of your love for him. The circle widens as you begin to become less. The more you become more of you, the less the circle is, because you can't only reach out so far. But when there's less of you, God reaches out through you. So the priest who dies to himself and is the guy who has depression and has to take a five-hour nap after the one mass in the middle of the podunk has actually died to himself. And his priesthood lives on anonymously. The church lives on those broken priests. Are you with me? It isn't the one with the 25,000 people. It's the one that's struggling and suffering and overcoming himself. But by your love of that priest and your love for the Eucharist, the communion in the Mass, it actually grows. Okay? The communion in the Mass grows. And you will see this movement of love in this exchange of love. The priest in persona Christi feeding the Eucharist, you becoming more of the woman God has called you to be. And before you know it, the mystical body of Christ is in communion. The priest as the head, you as the body, and together we form this absolute communion of the church. And it's all because we're just dying to ourselves and allowing the substance of that which is in me to become more Christ-like, Christian, communioned. You know, as you mature in your journey, because the whole process is a life process, just as I learn my priesthood, God begins to help you have courage and to allow these changes to take place in you for another person. So my daughter is struggling with purity, and I'm allowing, or insecurity or whatever, and I'm aware of this. I'm absolutely maternally aware. And I come to communion, and you receive the Blessed Sacrament, and you're asking the Lord to heal her from within to without. And so you'll begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit in the Blessed Sacrament healing your daughter from that insecurity or from that impurity. Whether she goes to confession, she has free will. Do you understand? It doesn't mean God's going to scoop her up and put her in there. But it means that you're beginning to help her heal from within. Everybody got it? So you have to realize that so that you enter the gift of the Blessed Sacrament with a maternal heart, regardless of children or not. I don't want to get caught up in that. What God intends is that you enter the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament and receive the Eucharist for the purpose of conversion, for the purpose of converting your friend or your girlfriend who's going through a rotten time in her life. That will be sensed by the priest in time. He will see that you are not simply approaching for selfishness, but that you'll actually be receiving to build up the compassion that Christ had on his lost sheep. Remember that? Like, he looked at them like, and he had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd. That will be what wells up in you, like sheep without a shepherd. You will look at them with compassion. Okay? That is what God is calling you to. It's a higher calling. It's a high calling of holiness. And it's a challenge. I understand. It just demands transparency. And then you begin to bring communion everywhere you go. I've seen it. Okay? I've seen issues with moms, and the daughter goes back, and she's gone through some changes, and mom rebels. What? Come on. And all of a sudden, in time, that daughter begins to have a beautiful impact on mom. Okay? I think it was not long ago at the parish, somebody said, "Father, can I send you an email?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Show it to everybody." She had a mass set for her brother, right? That was the same day her brother went back to mass, or back to confession after 25 years. So I don't know if it was his birthday or maybe it was nothing, but he went to mass and he went to confession. So I had the 8:30 mass, and I don't know, we were somewhere in the middle of the country. And he went back to confession the very same day. And she just sort of said, "Yeah, that stuff happens when you have the mass offered for people." And of course, she had a joyful heart. But I'm driving at something with you, okay? Communion is something that God is giving to you. Does anybody else need confession? Sanderfoot's not doing anything back there, typically leaning against the refrigerator. And Father Wells is over here doing nothing as well. So if anybody needs confession, spiritual direction, don't let them go, dude. Just talk to them about all the stuff I don't want to listen to. Go talk to them.